Mistreatment Centers of America is now open in Port St. Lucie.
Welcome to the Keeping It Real Estate Show. This is a live call-in show, and I'm your host, Luke Lewis, along with my co-host, Tiffany Young, where we dive into everything real estate, from buying and selling to making smart investments. Our mission? To educate and keep you informed on the latest happenings in your local market. We're glad to have you with us. Let's get started. Welcome to Keeping It Real Estate. I'm your host, Luke Lewis.
And I'm Tiffany Young. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy 2025.
Yeah, hey, today's topic is going to be on Real Estate Investing 101.
Yes, we are here every week to break down the world of real estate to help you make smart decisions, whether you're buying, selling, or investing, which just happens to be what we're talking about today. We're diving into the basics, what it is, why it's a great wealth-building tool, and how to get started.
Yep, and today we'll cover the different types of investments, how to avoid common mistakes, and share some inside tips for getting started in this exciting field for those of you who are considering getting out there.
Yeah, so this is a live call-in show.
Yeah, as a reminder, you can reach us at 772-221-1100. Again, that number is 772-221-1100 for those of you who want to call in and have some comments or ask any questions about today's topics. We'll be more than happy to give you a chance to get on the air and let's discuss it out in the open. So Tiffany, how was your holiday period?
It was good. I wish I got a little more rest. ended it up with a little flu bug or cold, or I mean, I can't tell which one it is, a cold or a flu, but I had the sniffles. And I'm just on the other side of that now. So just happy to get the year started and excited to, you know, kick it off and take off running with it.
Yeah, well, that's good. You got over that and you're feeling good and you're off to a new start. That's the way to do it. Just before we get into the show, just like to give you a quick reminder that we are with Treasure Coast Realty Group, a real estate company, and we're operating and working out of Fort Pierce, Florida. And we're here to help you. So if you have any questions related to the industry of real estate or anything in that parameter, we'd love to sit down and have a conversation with you. So Tiffany, why don't we, let's get started.
Yeah, so let's start with the basics. So Luke, just give us a little rundown. What do we mean by real estate investing?
Okay, well, in simple terms, real estate investing is purchasing, owning, you could be renting, managing, or selling real estate for property, which would be commonly known as flipping. So the beauty of real estate investing is that it's incredibly versatile. You can adapt it to your lifestyle. You can use it to help make some goals for yourself and also create financial situations that give you some leverage to do things that you always want to do, but didn't really have the means to do it through working a job or in some type of work career situation.
Absolutely. You know, it can also help you to build generational wealth. You know, real estate is a tangible asset, and that makes it unique because you can physically see and control your investment. And that adds more stability to your portfolio compared to stocks or crypto, which can be a little more volatile. You know, and it also offers leverage. Unlike buying stocks, you know, you can finance most of your real estate purchase with a mortgage, which means that you can control a much larger asset than you do, that you could do, rather than purchasing it outright.
Yep. And there are three primary ways you can make money with real estate, and we're going to go over those. But one of the ways, just from jumping right out of the gate, is rental income. Mm-hmm. You know, what rental income does, it creates a monthly cash flow from tenants. And basically, you're able to increase your rent and make more income as it's needed. It gives you some versatility there to keep up with the market and its conditions. And there's also the appreciation factor. And basically what appreciation is, the property's value increase over time. And that can, you know, offers you and give you ability to have consistent income stream. So that's a really good tangible part of it as well. And then the tax benefits that are related to owning real estate, it has incredible tax advantages as well. And we'll touch on that a little bit later, but getting back up into the appreciation part, that's the part of real estate that really continues to give you residual income time and time again.
Yeah, like we were talking and you were saying something about, you know, it's the one thing that you can blow the budget 1 month and then what happens?
Yeah, yeah. And I know this sounds crazy. I don't advise anybody to go out there and do it. But the thing about real estate is that it's reoccurring income, right?
The investment properties.
You know, you can get out there and investment properties, and if you've got 3, 4, 5 units, 1 unit, 2 units, if you take whatever you're getting from that unit and you blow every single penny that you brought in for that month, the first of the following month, it starts all over again, and there's money back in your pocket. But, you know, it's not without risk, right?
Right. But, right. You know, another great thing that real estate provides, it's a hedge against inflation. You know, as cost rises, so do property values, and so does rental income. So that puts you in a more favorable position to have that buffer against the inflation like we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, it's a long-term game, though. Mm-hmm. And getting into real estate and investments, the cost could be significant depending on what you're going to get out there and get into.
So yeah,
those are all waters to be carefully considered as you decide to go from just owning a home that you reside in mm-hmm. to creating additional income from other investments that you plan to rent out or flip in some capacity.
Yeah, you know, but with the right education and strategy, I think it's one of the most reliable paths to building wealth.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, for
totally
sure.
Agreed. So let's dive into the main types of real estate investments. Tiffany, where should we start?
Yeah, you know, let's start with residential real estate. You know, this is probably the most familiar type for most people. You know, think about single family homes, duplexes, and small apartment buildings. These properties are often used as rental properties mm-hmm. or as primary residences. And I'm saying that because let's talk about multifamily properties. You know, they're extremely popular because you can live in one unit and rent out the other, which is, you know, called house hacking. And it's a fantastic way to ease into real estate investing because you have that dual income or that one income from the second unit,
right.
You know, and if there's if you're renting both out, if there's a vacancy in one of the units, you have that additional unit that will constantly be bringing you that income that can help you pay your mortgage or pay the part of it or maybe the entire thing. Yeah. Plus, you have a higher return on cash flow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus a single family home, because if you're in a duplex, that's 2 rents, a triplex, 3. A fourplex, that's 4 income. So it's a great, great way to ease into the real estate investing world, especially if you just purchase that first one that you live in and eventually upgrade. And if you keep it, rent it out, and eventually build on that.
Yeah, and the house hacking, I love that idea. And I don't think a lot of people are aware of it, but that's especially great for, you know, people who are just getting out there in the field, you know, young folks who are trying to find out how to hang their hat someplace and not have that high overhead cost of buying someplace, you know, getting into a duplex, renting out the one side, you live in cash free on the other side. And with that income from the other side that you're renting out, that could come close to, if not pay the mortgage.
The entire mortgage,
until you're ready to take the next step and then eventually move out of your side and rent both sides, and then let them pay for the property that you're going to move into. But as we talk about considering investments, you know, there's also the commercial side of real estate as well, like office buildings, retail spaces, and industrial properties. And they tend to require more capital, definitely more experience, because you're getting into factors that are beyond just collecting a check and fixing the sink and those things. But they can offer much higher returns. And one of the best factors in commercial leases is that on a commercial lease, as the landlord, you're responsible for the building only. So all of the internals like plumbing and air conditioning, you know, problems inside, putting up walls if someone decides they want to modify the inside of the structure, they call it build out in the real estate world. That is the responsibility of the tenant. So they come in, they pay for that themselves. And then there's also the taxes, insurance, and the maintenance that's paid and shared by the tenants that are in the building. And that's called triple net. So triple net is when you share the expenses of your taxes, your insurance, and your maintenance, and you spread it across the tenants in your commercial dwelling so they absorb some of those costs. And one of the most beautiful part of the factors when it comes to commercial real estate is that they tend to have much longer leases than residential.
Absolutely. Leases. Yeah.
Well, people want you to know where they are.
Right. I mean,
if you're setting up your business in a facility or in an area or a place, you want people to know that whenever they need you, you're there. So you tend to have longer leases, 5 year, 10 year, 15 year, because you want people to know they can close
with
their eyes.
With the option to extend.
Yeah, and drive to you and know when they get there, you're there. So those leases are extremely longer than the residential, and it gives you a chance to have year-over-year increases with steady tenants.
Yeah, even though these may require a little more capital.
Definitely going to require more capital.
Yeah, but the returns.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Worth it, for sure.
Yeah, and let's not forget about vacation rentals. Those Airbnbs, you know, platforms like that have made it so much easier than ever to turn like a second home into a short-term rental property.
Yep.
You know, there are good and bad right now with that in terms of Airbnb's pricing out the rental market, but pricing out the rental market for people that annual renters. But beyond that, if you are an investor, it's a great way for you to get into the market. And you don't have to have it rented all year round. You can also use it, you know? The key is choosing a location with a consistent tourist demand. You know, I was on Expedia the other day and I saw that they have vacation rentals listed there now. You know, not just the hotels. So, I mean, it's easier than ever for you to list your unit. You don't have to get on Airbnb or VRBO or any of those. So It's a great option to explore.
Yep, and it's definitely much more affordable than hotels these days. I mean, if you've got a family,
I would look.
Yeah, family of five, family of six, and you need three rooms, four rooms. So, you know, go to a hotel. You know, it's a challenge saying, "Hey, I'm on one floor and I need all the rooms together." That in itself would be that'll never happen. But you know, and the same thing, you're averaging about $200 a room per night. So on average, that puts you at about $800 a night with four rooms. Where you can get a three-bedroom Airbnb, two-bath with the living room, you know, general common
maybe
area for about, $300, $400 a day.
Yeah.
So you just cut those costs and those expenses in half.
Yeah, so that's...
And you got one space. So that is a great market. Again, like you mentioned, just got to be in the right place, right location. Make sure you can get the money that you want and, you know, kind of know what the market stands in that area so you can pay your bills while you're releasing out the Airbnb to other folks that are out there. And another option is flipping homes as well. This involves buying a property, renovating it, and selling it for a profit. Now, it's high risk, but it can be very rewarding if it's done right. And the key word is right. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later.
Yeah. And finally, you know, there are REITs, which stand for real estate investment trusts. These let you invest in real estate without physically owning the property.
You don't touch anything.
Yeah, they're great for those who want to invest passively. You know, they're a great way to diversify your portfolio because they offer stock-like shares in these trusts where they're managed by someone else that have bundled a whole bunch of real estate investment properties and sell shares to you that wants to invest without having to get your hands dirty. You don't have to be a property manager. You don't have to fix toilets. You don't have to collect rent. But you do have that passive income added to your portfolio without the volatility of the stock market per se.
Yeah, and REITs they're definitely more secure, I think, only because most companies that are running REITs are managing large apartment complexes. So the vacancy rate in those units are usually down, and they're using your capital to help secure the investment and to manage the expenses with always a return. So if you want to dabble in and kind of step in just a little bit and get your toes wet, not a bad place at all to start, but just make sure you do the education and read upon which REIT fund you're going to invest in before you take the plunge, right?
Absolutely.
And each of these come with its own pros and cons, by the way, as we talk through it. So it's important to make sure you align your choice with your financial goals, and more important than that, like what your risk tolerance is.
Yeah.
You know, how much you can put out there, how much you can set aside.
How long you can go? What's your timeline?
Exactly. What you can do without touching it.
Yeah, when you need it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And if you're new to real estate investing, the first step is education. You know, you need to understand the basics, things like cash flow, appreciation, and cap rates. So, I mean, take some online courses, you know, read up on it. There are so many podcasts, people that can help you understand the market of investing, right, for sure.
Yep. And then once you take that plunge, you decide you're ready to jump in the waters, the first thing you do is you need to insulate yourself. If you're going to get into having investment properties, set up an LLC for the property first up. And what an LLC does, it relates any expenses or anything else related to the property itself, and it does not attach to you. And you like to do that for security purposes, because in the event that something happens and anyone comes after the property, the only exposure you have is the property itself and not your personal assets. So I would recommend anyone who's considering doing it, that's the very first step you do before you do anything. Insulate yourself and then get into it. Work on improving your credit score and then try to make sure that you can do anything to reduce your existing debt, because you're definitely going to take on some debt once you start investing in investments.
Yeah, get your finances in order and improve your credit score.
Yep.
Yeah, try to save a little bit. And don't underestimate the importance of doing market research. You know, real estate definitely is all about location, location, location. So, of course, you should study high demand areas and emerging neighborhoods. You know, look for areas with strong job growth, good schools, and amenities to attract renters or
buyers.
Things
are happening.
Yeah. So you don't want to just pick an area. You're like, oh, there aren't any properties here. There are no Airbnbs here. So maybe I should get one.
And no
maybe
people.
There's a reason.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And also corporations moving into new areas all the time. So if you
people
find out
places to stay.
Yeah, a corporation that's moving into a certain area, try to get in there first and carefully hedge your bet.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a great point, Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
Great tip for beginners is to also start small. I think you gave me something today. It's called crawl before you ball.
Luke was like, what? Yeah,
still don't know what that means, but I'm starting to kind of get
you know what that means.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And just again, as a reminder, this is a live call-in show. If you'd like to call in and share any comments or content, the number here is 772-221-1100. Again, that number is 772-221-1100.
You know, crawl before your ball, that was in a Kanye West song.
Okay. Well, that's why I don't know what it is.
Yes.
Then. Okay.
Anyway, so let's move on.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, another critical step that we feel is so important is to build a team. Mm. You know, build your team, your real estate team.
Right.
You can get a realtor to help you find great deals. You know, sometimes, you know, we want to do it on our own, but you might make a great relationship with a realtor that can send you maybe some off-market deals that they know about. Maybe they heard about something first, you know, and a lender next to guide you through financing options. You know, they know about programs that, you know, we probably wouldn't know about that they can get you qualified and pre-approved for as an investor, where you probably come up with little to hardly any down payment. So don't slack on that. And also you should consider hiring a property manager. You know, maybe you want to be an investor, but not a landlord per se. So a property manager can help you handle tenant relations and maintenance. You know, no one wants that. Not everyone wants that midnight call that said, you know, there's water gushing in the yard. Yeah. And so, I mean, that scares a lot of people out of investing in real estate, the property management aspect of it.
Yeah, it could be messy.
It can be daunting.
The thing about having a team is that everybody knows what your tolerance is and what your appetite is, right?
Yeah.
And the good thing about having, especially when it comes to a property manager, like, they're bringing in fielding really, especially if you're out there and you're new and you're getting started in this, they're experts at bringing in people. They vet your renters. They make sure they know what you're looking for.
They run background checks.
Yeah, they do all those things that help you get good tenants, to help you avoid vacancies. And having a contractor on your team is equally as important, because that one person knows exactly what you want done. And having one person with your supplies and your goods in one place. If you have something left over from one job, there's always some surplus that you can move into the next job and get it done. And a tip for investors who are considering multifamilies, one thing I found it be very wise to do in investment properties, try to be as consistent as possible in little things like your paint color, like your tile on your floor, because all those things can be moved from one location to the next location. One can of paint paints
paint
all your places.
Four of your properties.
Yeah.
You know, you
one
don't have to.
One set of tile will do all of your properties.
Yeah.
So those are little tips of the trade that makes it very affordable to you as an investor.
And also, if you can find a mentor, that's so important.
Yeah.
You know, ask around. Maybe you see someone that's doing something you want to do. Don't be afraid, because in a lot of cases, someone will be willing to help you, you know, get a start. Like maybe they got someone to help them.
Sure.
But definitely, lastly, think long term, you know.
Yep. And a good mentor will help you eliminate and not make the mistakes they made. Right?
Yeah.
That's so important. You know, they don't mind
been there,
sharing.
Done that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Everybody likes to have. And remember, real estate is all about the numbers. Before buying any property, calculate your expected cash flow. You know, get an idea of what your expenses are and know what the return on investment is and what you're looking for and what you would like to look at.
Oh,
as
yeah.
You go through
that
it.
Brings me to a point because in a lot of cases, people are afraid to hire a property manager because they have to pay them. Let's say they say, okay, we charge you 10% to manage your property.
Yeah.
But if you're getting a lower rent right now on your own, if you hire a property manager that can help you get a higher rent,
you're making money.
The market rate, they'll know what's going on. You'll probably come out ahead after paying that property manager. You'd probably still have more cash flow than you did on your own. Yes. Trying to field it on your own, especially if you have a full-time job. That's not your primary thing
no
to do.
There's no doubt about it. No doubt at all about it. And that's one of the common mistakes that people make in trying to manage your own properties. You become personal with your tenants, and you don't want to be that guy who's coming in and saying, well, I need to get an increase this year. So you're being conservative because you've created these relationships and you're making these micro increases. Meanwhile, on the other hand, your expenses are skyrocketing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So not that it takes the human factor out of it, but having a property manager, they come in, they're going to make sure you stay at market rate. They're going to make sure you get the things you need. They remove the personal factor of you having to go in there and I'm going to call it and do the dirty work.
Mm-hmm.
And then most important of all, above all things else, they're going to always get you more money, because even with the property management fee that they charge you, if they're going to charge more than you can get on your own, when you back out their portion, you're still making money. So that's a great point you made. It is definitely something to be considered when you're thinking about bringing somebody on to manage your properties for you.
Yeah. With that being said, Luke, you know, what are some of the mistakes that you see new investors make?
I see the same mistakes all the time. And it's funny. I was wondering if it's ever going to stop. Number one is they don't properly capitalize.
What do you mean by that?
So properly capitalizing means you buy a place and you're going to do an investment and you want to get it ready to rent out. And you come up with estimates and you say, this is going to cost $50,000 to get this job done, and I'm just using that number as a rough number. And then something takes place and it takes 60. Now there's a $10,000 shortfall that you've got to figure out where that money comes from. And if you planned tight, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to be able to finish the project, and somebody's going to come along and get a fire sale from all your hard work and effort that you put out there to have additional income property. And then the other thing is, they try to do it themselves. Like if you got to get something done, time is money. So get someone who knows what they're doing, get them in there, let them start the process, let them finish the process. They're gonna do it quickly because they're used to it. It's something that they do all the time.
Avoiding and the mistakes.
Yeah, and the sooner they can get their portion done, the faster you can start collecting rent. And definitely over leveraging. That's the third one that's always been a killer. Taking on too much debt can lead to a disaster. If the market turns one way, you're expecting to make $1,500 a month, and the market turns and goes south, and now you're only able to get $1,350, that $150 that you were expecting go someplace or just completely disappears.
Yeah. And also, remember this, it's an investment property. It's not your primary residence where you will be living. So don't go in there and put, you know, the fanciest toilet and the heated seats and, you know, the reflective
heated this
and that.
Heated seats on the toilet?
Yes.
Okay.
Self-flushing.
I missed that one.
You know,
I've got to get back on Amazon. I missed that one. Show me that tonight.
Go ahead. I'm going to show you when we leave here.
Wow.
You know? So another common mistake that we see is people skipping the due diligence. Mm-hmm. You know, always inspect your properties, even if you're paying cash. You know, inspect them thoroughly and understand the local market conditions.
Yeah.
You know, if the rental prices are going down, it's probably not the best time to invest in a multitude of rental units.
Right.
And if home prices are increasing, you know, finding fix and flips won't be as prevalent.
Yeah, that's important, especially knowing when to invest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get a fire sale or something that's a great investment.
Yeah,
that's
a one-off.
Yeah,
here
that's
and
a one-off.
Yeah.
Like I recommend jump right on it. But if it's not, then you need to kind of slow down a little bit and make sure you're good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget, most of all, underestimating costs like property taxes, they cannot be homesteaded. So
investment properties cannot be homesteaded.
Yeah.
So
you're going to take the full hit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's all you.
Yeah. You know, also the insurance aspect of it, you know, make sure you get a landlord property insurance. I know sometimes you're a cash buyer and you feel I don't need it, but that also covers liability. It doesn't cover contents. So make sure you have the correct policy. And think about requiring your tenants to have a rental insurance policy as well. You know, and that will cover the liability for them and also their contents.
Yep. So let's shift gears for a minute and talk about some insider tips. Looking for properties with value-added potential,
mm-hmm.
like outdated homes, they can be modernized and you get higher rent value on that.
Yeah, great tip. And if you're managing the property yourself, take the time to screen your tenants thoroughly. A bad tenant can cost you far more than 1 month's vacancy. You know, real estate isn't about getting rich quick. Focus on steady growth and the rewards will come.
Yep, and it's a marathon, folks. It's not a sprint.
Yeah.
Be patient. Stick to your plan. And better yet, make sure you have a plan so you can adapt it as you learn more. So I think, Tiffany, we've kind of covered all of the details.
Absolutely.
You guys are ready to go out and buy something.
Yeah. Okay. You know, like, remember, we're here to help. So lean on us if you need us. So that's a wrap for this week's episode of Keeping It Real Estate.
And we've enjoyed having you guys. Thanks for tuning in tonight. We hope that you've learned something from this show tonight about real estate investing. And tune in next week. There'll be more to come.
Until then, let's keep it real estate.
Good
Goodbye.
Night. Good night.
You've been listening to the Keeping It Real Estate Show with your hosts, Luke Lewis and Tiffany Young. Thanks for tuning in as we explored everything you need to know about buying, selling, and investing in real estate. Our mission is to keep you informed and ahead of the curve in today's market. Be sure to join us next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for more expert insights, tips, and local market updates. You can always reach us at 772-510-6801 or by visiting our website at treasurecoastrealtygroup.com. Until then, stay informed, stay inspired, and of course, keep it real in real estate.
Come on, we've come to magnify the Lord and give him some glory. Want you to help me sing this song. Come on, lift up and say, stretch my hand.